You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
Cut
him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Monday morning to you and yours. DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. April the 26th, 2021. Busy sports weekend. For the most part, successful sports weekend for almost all of the locals. Let's bring in the guys and say good morning. Good morning, one, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Good weekend on my end. Got a chance to hang out with the parents, played a little golf. It was a nice weekend.
Nice and relaxing. I like that. Rick, yeah. I know you had six-year-old baseball, so it couldn't have been relaxing, but good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. Miss you guys. Glad to be back. Start the week off right. A little baseball. Oh, little Knicks. Little Knicks, Dave.
I know. They're very good, Rick. They're
you didn't
want to
get
good.
On the boat. You didn't want to get on the boat. But me and Omar, we dragged you on.
Oh, this is like a
I'm on the ship,
liner.
Omar. I'm on the ship.
This is a luxury liner. Is what this
no, this is, yeah, yeah. I mean,
this is five star.
You thought, yeah, yeah. I mean, you thought, like, early on, like, you were hesitant. You're like, I don't know. This looks more like a dinghy. I'm like, no, Dave, come on. Come on, get on. We're going to surprise you a little bit. I didn't think this. I don't know. No one thought this.
Nobody thought that. Like, if I would have said to you, if when the season started, Chris and Rick, if I would have said to you, what's your wildest imagination? Like, how great could, if everything went perfectly right, everything went well within order. It was perfect, ideal, Thibodeau. Everyone raised the level of their game to the maximum of what they could do. What do you think that the best this Knicks team could have done this year?
I was
30 wins. 30 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, right around then. I said it would be a wildly successful season before things even started if they were flirting with 30 wins, because I think the over-under on the win total was, what, 22? And so to have this team now at 34 wins and in sole possession of fourth place in the Eastern Conference, I mean, I don't know if you can ask for much more if you're a Knicks fan. I mean, just seeing what Julius Randle has turned himself into, clearly the most improved player, and making a case to be in the conversation for MVP. Like, I don't think that there's any Knicks fan out there that could have told you that they thought this team would be in this position with 11 games to go.
There's not one person that would have told you that.
No one. There's seven games over 500.
They've won nine in a row, Dave. Nine in a row. And all of a sudden,
nine
I mean,
in
I,
a row.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I know they don't have much time to practice, but apparently they're getting up shots because now all of a sudden everyone can shoot from three. I mean, against Toronto,
Obi starts
making
even
threes.
Obi Toppin.
They made 16 threes again. Dave, they made 16 threes again.
You know who's really, I guess I can say good? Reggie Bullock is good.
Reggie Bullock has been good. Derrick Rose has been great. All of a sudden in the second, like, here's the best part, is like they go into these games. Julius Randle decides, okay, I'm gonna exert my will early in the game. And then RJ Barrett's like, no, I'll sit back. I'll sit back in the first half. Then all of a sudden he comes out in the second half and he's a beast. Like, that's like the new way this Knicks team works. Randle takes it early. All of a sudden, RJ Barrett comes out in the second half. I mean, he had 20 points in the second half, 12 in the fourth quarter. And the start of that fourth quarter against Toronto, man, was as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game was night-night termite. The second, I mean, It was like 3 minutes into the fourth quarter that game was
a shot.
It was a wrap. Yeah,
yeah. They didn't miss a shot, and you know what? They at this point, but you still look at Toronto. Toronto's still a talented team. I mean, I know they're not playing great basketball, but they still have Lowry. They still have Van Vliet. They still have Siakam. And you destroyed them on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of a sudden you're talking about in, you know, they always had the defense, right? Like the defense from the start of the season to where we're at now has always been good. I mean, it's at a point now where it's statistically it's an elite defense. It's one of the best defenses in basketball, right? So now all of a sudden you're talking about this kind of great defense that plays this kind of physical brand of basketball, and on top of it now all of a sudden you can start, I mean, you can shoot now all of a sudden? Like, where, I mean, they can legitimately shoot. There's another 16 threes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over 50% from three. That's if you can defend the three. If you're one of the best teams in the NBA at defending the three, and all of a sudden now you can start shooting the three like this, I mean, this is how you win nine in a row, man.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, they've won nine games in a row. They're looking for 10 in a row tonight, a game you can listen to right here on 98.7 ESPN starting at 7 o'clock against the Suns. This is a great test also. I mean, this is, I mean, look at the Suns. They're one of the best teams in the NBA.
Oh, no question about it, Dave. And then coming off of the loss that they had in Brooklyn yesterday, you got to think that they're going to have a heightened sense of urgency because they're fighting for seeding in the Western Conference as well. So, I mean, yeah, this will be a great test for the Knicks. It'll be kind of a barometer just to see exactly where they're at, because there are a lot of people that are looking at this 9-game win streak and saying, I don't know if I believe the Knicks are that good. I don't know if they're that kind of team this year. But how they compete tonight will tell you a lot about what this team is made of. And I think it'll give you a little bit of a preview in terms of what you can expect once this team gets to the postseason. But I'm with you and Rick. The fact that this team defends as well as they do, and now you're starting to see that perimeter shooting come around, you couple that with the playmaking from Julius Randle and Derrick Rose. I mean, I just feel like this team, you know, based on the matchups, if you're talking about them being a 4-5 seed, I would not be surprised at all if you're talking about the Knicks winning a playoff series.
No, I mean, especially if all of a sudden now you're talking about a fourth or fifth seed.
Yeah.
Like now you're not playing Brooklyn, you're not playing Milwaukee, you're not playing Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs.
You still have a lot of work to be done to get that 4 or 5. I mean, your schedule, what do they have, 11 games left? There's not a lot of easy games on the schedule. And I'm not doubting them. I'm not saying that they're not going to be okay. I'm just saying that you got Phoenix twice, you still got the Lakers. You have a tough final 11 games of the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, no one's going to listen, you're 100% right. We all understand that. But, I mean, for the first time, and I don't even know when I could tell you since when, it's like, are they going to show up? No, I don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Like, tonight's game, like, I don't worry about them showing up. I know they're going to show up.
They could lose, but are they going to compete? Are they going to give you 48 minutes? Are they going to play well? Are they going to play hard? That's a non-issue at this point.
Yeah, they're going to go out. They're going to play great defense. And, I mean, if they shoot the way that they've been shooting, I like their chances. I do. Phoenix coming off a back-to-back. I mean, the way that the Knicks have played at the Garden, period. And I mean, so it's with, I couldn't even, that's the other takeaway, too. I couldn't even imagine what that place would be like.
It really stinks, doesn't it? I said it on Saturday. It actually pains me. The Knicks fan has been through the ringer for so long. They're actually really good, and the fans, for the most part, can't go to the games. It stinks.
No, it's terrible. But you know what? The other thing, too, with this team is that it seems like every single, and this is something we keep talking about, especially during this winning streak, every single night you have contributions from everybody. Like top to bottom, everybody. You know what I mean? Like how good has Nerlens Noel been?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, especially like
around the rim?
Oh. Around the rim, blocking shots that third quarter where it kind of got a little bit dicey, couple big blocks, all of a sudden, you know, changes the momentum right there. Like every single guy has found a way during pieces of the game, even Obi Toppin, like we mentioned, the bench was awesome against Toronto. This is one of the most unexpected. I can't even remember the last time. Like sports,
and that makes it better, doesn't it? When you know your team's going to be great, it's great. Don't get me wrong, but it's what you're expecting to have had happen. When you don't think your team's going to be good and they wind up being really good and they give you a season like this, you would agree that it makes it sweeter, doesn't it? It makes it more fun?
Yeah, it makes it a lot more fun. But I mean, even that, like, it's not just that they're winning, though, too. It's how they play. It's watching the guys on the bench and how how engaged they are, how happy they are for each other. It's and I know I mock you for saying this, that this is a really fun team to watch, but it's it's a hard team not to root for. Like all those things that we complain about with the Yankees, how they're boring, mm-hmm. and it's like there's no heart, there's no fire. Yeah. When you watch this Knicks team, man, that's what they are. It's all heart, it's all intensity, it's all fire. They're all in. Like everyone, yeah, no matter how many, like Theo Pinson doesn't even play, and I love Theo. The guy didn't even play. He doesn't sit down. Like he's engaged. Frank's not playing. He's running up and down. Kevin Knox doesn't play. He's running up and down. Like these guys are fully invested in what's going on right now.
Yeah, there's a different vibe around this team than in years past, man. I mean, the last time the Knicks had this kind of win streak, you got to go back a decade. I think it's the 2012-2013 season. And in that year, they won 13 straight, and that's not outside of the realm of possibility if the Knicks can find a way to best the Suns tonight. Like, that could actually happen where they could tie that mark. I mean, this is a special team. And I guess the thing that makes it special is we all recognize that from a talent standpoint, they're not a team that you would think would be in the top four in their respective conference. They're just not. But they're playing above the X's and O's, and that's because Tom Thibodeau has this team believing and what they're capable of accomplishing. Like, they're all bought in. Like, they believe in the coach and what he's selling, and they believe in each other. And you see that on display every single night with their effort. So, Rick, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, I'm not even a Knicks fan. I'm a Lakers fan. But it's fun to watch this Knicks team just because you see them lay it on the line every single game. And I appreciate that because I know that's not easy to do.
Hardworking team. And we mentioned, you know, the schedule gets tougher and this 9-game winning streak. But you know what? They beat Memphis to start this thing out. That's a good win. Remember, they beat the Lakers. You say, well, the Lakers didn't have their two guys. But remember, the Lakers are coming off a game where they throttled the Nets on that Saturday night. Maybe it was their best game of the season without those two guys. They beat the Pelicans. They went into Dallas and beat the Mavericks. They beat the Pelicans again. They beat Charlotte. You say, all right, these are not great wins. Charlotte had a great win yesterday, right? They beat Atlanta. Yeah. So I don't want to hear, well, this, you know, look at the, no, this isn't impressive. If the Knicks win 9 in a row, it's impressive. This is a mightily impressive run here. I don't want to hear otherwise.
The Knicks may not be a sexy team, but the Knicks are a good team. Like, it's not like Julius Randle's their all-star, and it's not, I mean, you wouldn't get it twisted for the Brooklyn Nets or one of these teams that's got a bunch of, you know, really, really good players.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put this group together and they play as hard as they're playing, they're a really good team. They're a tough team to play against.
They are. They're a tough team to play. I bet you nobody wants them in the postseason. And they're really, like I've said, and you said so eloquently today, they're a fun team to watch. Now, here's what they have coming up. It's Phoenix tonight. It's Chicago on Wednesday. And then they go to Houston on Sunday, which is, I mean, absolutely a game you should win. So you figure 2-1 in your next three is very realistic at a minimum. Then you're in Memphis, then it gets tough. Memphis, Denver, all on the road. Phoenix, Clippers, Lakers. So that's a brutal 5-game stretch. And then you're home to the Spurs, Charlotte, and Boston. So they have, what, 11 games? If they could somehow give you a 6-5 down the stretch, I think you'd be happy as a Knicks fan.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you fortify the lineup with Simi Shitu, and then who knows? Sky's the limit.
You've been waiting for that one, huh?
You know he had that one in the chamber, Dave.
I mean,
all
that
weekend
was just
long,
you were,
he
you
had
were
it in the chamber.
waiting for that one.
Oh, man.
I couldn't come out of the gate with that.
Well, why not?
I got to ease into that. I can't. I got to ease into that one.
You know who's on the show today,
the time needed
by the way?
To be right for that one.
You know who's on the show today?
I know who's on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think I'll sit out the interview.
Against the will,
I'm not going to involve myself. I have enough reads to keep me busy. I'll set you guys up, and when Diana Rossini comes,
no,
on
you
the
can't
show,
do that. You can't because no, it'll get awkward. Mm. You'll make it more awkward.
Yeah, you'll more be lurking awkward in the background. Nobody wants that, Dave.
Diana, I have been lurking. I'll just lurk for the interview. I'll just listen to the interview. I'll stand back. I'll listen to you guys handle it, and then when it's done, I'll pop back on.
Yeah, but if you're not talking, we won't know what you're doing, and we can only assume what you're doing.
Diana Rossini. Diana, I have been lurking, not strangely, but lurking on social media, and I noticed that you got married over the pandemic, so congratulations to you.
That was a nice thing to say. I still don't understand why you think that was the way to go, Dave. Why that adjective was the one to use in talking to Diana. Lurking?
Yeah, because social media lurking. It's not like I'm sitting outside her window and watching
you
her.
You may as well be.
No, stop it.
But what's wrong with saying I was going through social media and I realized that you got married this?
Because I thought it made it more juicy to say lurking. Uh-oh.
I don't know if juicy is the right word.
It made it more creepy.
Diana, did you at all take it in a negative light that I asked and was pleased and congratulated you on your nuptials?
So...
see, I'll sit it out. I think that's best for everybody involved. I'll sit it out.
Diana, I'm going to sit out and let Chris and Rick do the interview. I'll just be in the background here breathing heavy. Don't worry about me.
Lurking, looking at your social media.
Yeah, I'll do some recognizance for you guys, and I'll throw it out there so you can say, Dave, and then you guys can say, Dave's been lurking.
What's that sound? No, that's Dave. Don't worry about it.
Wow. I'm watching you, Diana. Over here, you creeper. I know where you are. Take me out for some Taco Bell and let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe I am creepy. I watched a 20 for 20 last night on Serial Killer, so I don't know.
What do you keep saying maybe? I think we've established. You got. I mean, there's a little creep in you.
Maybe there is. No, not maybe.
This isn't like the whole Lonnie's our number one fan, and you say maybe. This is... No, Dave, you are a little creepy. Not
so
a lot.
I am defined as a little creepy.
Yeah, you're touched, touch. Dave. You're touched. Yeah.
Yes. You're touched. More than one ways.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I should bow out now.
You and that double off.
Who's going to do all these reads if you bow out?
Well,
who's going to do all these reads?
You're capable of sometimes reading. You have beautiful, eloquent sentences that you come up with during the course of the show. Right? We've heard those.
Oh, my God. I'm not doing it again. I refuse. In any short break to have mangoes again. I can't do it. I may embarrass
myself. I got a mango in my mouth.
No, that's
I've done what I came to done.
That's the line. I've done what I came to done.
Man. I've done what I came to done.
That's the line. I'm getting that made up on T-shirts, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, official DCR apparel.
Oh, I've came to done. Beautiful. Yeah. Rick DiPietro. Right. The line. Oh, that's biblical. That's like Rick 4:16. That's what that should be.
I've done what I came to done.
Yeah. Beautiful.
A lot to get into today. Rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I've come when I came to done. Arguably the best two Mexican heavyweights in boxing history square off in the Fox Sports Premier Boxing Champions pay-per-view. Andy the Destroyer Ruiz Jr., the first a Mexican-American heavyweight champion of the world who scored a stunning upset of Anthony Joshua in June of 2019 against the veteran fan favorite Chris the Nightmare Arreola. Saturday, May 1st.
Excuse me?
I mean, what do you want me to do?
Oh, what man.
Chris, you know boxing. That's the man's name.
That's the man's name, yeah.
I knew it. When
so
I
his
saw
last
it today,
name is Nipple?
When I saw it today, I thought, okay, I have a lot of reads. One, two. Oh, come on. Does this have to be his name? I mean, really? Any other show that it'll go off without a hitch, I know that with you, there's no way you could look past that.
How do you not root for him now?
Chest to chest and nipple to nipple.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Of course, you can listen to us on the smart speakers. Just play 98.7 ESPN. Leo tweets in. He says, quote, I got to finish the Arreola read. Needs to be a drop immediately. Immediately. Chris the Nightmare Arreola, Saturday, May 1st.
Excuse me?
I love your reaction. You know, you're such a fraud too, by the way.
Why? What did I do now?
Because as if you didn't know that was... You know everything going on in the world of sports. There's nothing that you're not familiar with. As if you didn't know this was the guy's name.
No, I was hoping at some point that we would have a read that you would have to do for that fight. Just praying, really.
Well, there you go. Your prayers have been answered.
Could be one of my favorites.
There you and you know what? I don't think that's the last time you're going to get it today, by the way, either.
Oh, thank God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
I think that's one of... You want me to tell you how many times that's coming up?
I would imagine it's going to be at least twice. Two more times.
I believe one more time. 6:55-ish. Oh, God, right after Diana Rossini.
No. You got to move that. You have to move that.
Like that kind of party.
Oh, God.
If you lay out for the interview and then all of a sudden you come out of the gate with an areola read, it's going to get ugly.
Boy, somebody doesn't like me, huh?
Yeah, now all of a sudden, I mean, we're getting that's over the top.
I'm gonna
have
to register somewhere.
You might get a phone call from HR, Dave. That might be a situation where you get reported.
Yeah, but at that point, I'm not even sure you're allowed back in the building.
Okay. I didn't take it there. You took it there. You brought it back up. Well, if they don't let me back in, they don't let me back in. That's the price I have to pay. Now, let's go to maybe our number one fan wants to talk next. That's Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie.
Family, good the Monday morning. How are you guys?
What's going on, Lonnie?
What's going on, Rico, Canty, Dave? Now, Rico, hope the game over the weekend went well.
Game was awesome. Yes. Game was awesome, Lonnie. Good. Hour and 50 minutes. Kids hit twice, an hour and 50 minutes.
You wonder why kids don't fall in love with baseball, huh?
All right. I'm sure you didn't, Rico, I'm sure you didn't hear Cousin Dave and Todd trying to bash you over the weekend. Don't worry, I had to call
this is what
him
he does.
And try to put it into that. I know. But, you know, Rico, sometimes you kind of do deserve it because you do a lot to him on the show Monday through Friday. So,
This is what happens. Let me explain to you what happened, Lonnie. This is what happens. Is I bust Dave's chops. Then all of a sudden, he has this level of freedom because I'm not on the show with him on Saturday. And Ty doesn't like me because Ty all of a sudden came into the studio one day with karate shoes on. And I haven't even mentioned him.
I mean, you're that guy. Lord. Now, Lonnie, little, be honest now. Be honest, Lonnie. Did I start to make fun of Rick, or did Ty make fun of him, and I just went in that direction?
It was Ty. It was Ty, and then, you know, you just kept, pushing it on. But now, Dave, I'm going to need you to choose your words very carefully today with Ms. Diana, please.
I'm going to write things down before she joins the show, yes.
Please, thank you. No lurking, no words in that, please. Just keep it out. Now, the Knicks. I mean, Dave, I called you on Saturday to talk about the Knicks. They picked up that 9th win the other day. I mean, I think they, like I said to Dave on Saturday, if they get that 4th or 5th seed, I believe they can win that first round. I mean, they're close enough to dream for the 3rd seed, too, but I don't think Milwaukee's going to let that slip.
They're not going to get the 3rd seed.
Dave, now, Uncle Rico, I've come what I came to done. I don't have a mouthful of John Mingles, but as a wise man once said, I've come to what I came to done. I love you guys.
Thank you.
We love you too,
that's
Lonnie.
A nice call. That's why he might be the number one fan of the show right there. Boom.
I don't like what you and Ty are doing, especially Ty, because Ty gets you going, and then all of a sudden you have there's no one to stand up for me on the show. So you guys,
you know
just,
what? I'm sick of it, honestly, with you. I mean, all you do is savagely abuse me during the week, and then when I have a moment that I can get a shot at you, when I'm led there, now all of a sudden I'm the bad guy? No.
I take shots at you when you have a chance to respond. You take shots at me when I'm not even listening to your show.
Well, call in. You're welcome.
Call in. I'm not going to say I'm... Here's the other thing, though, too. I didn't want to point out that Ty was wearing karate shoes. Like, you walk into the studio to produce a show and you're wearing a gi and karate shoes. I'm going to mention it.
He was not wearing a gi and karate
He may as well have been. It's all of a sudden like... I thought we were filming Cobra Kai in the studio.
It's a good show.
I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched Cobra Kai?
I have not watched it yet. No. When do I have time?
It's 30-minute shows. They're done in like 24 minutes. You could watch Cobra Kai.
I don't have 24 minutes at
Stop
the moment.
It.
I don't.
Stop
I'm telling you right now.
You have a problem with that. No, Sensei.
The baby's teething. We got teeth popping out. He's up every 2 hours. You got to be like
well,
a ninja.
There you go.
I can't even...
As he wakes up every 2 hours, there's an episode. Boom, he's up again. There's an episode.
Fair point.
He's feeding. Boom, there's an episode.
Yeah! Rico, Dave is trying to give you the game plan, man. You got to get involved with Cobra Kai.
It's very good.
You got to get involved.
I'll put it on the list. I'll add it to the list because Cassie's parents are the same way. You got to watch this show. You got to watch that show. We just finished this season.
What's on your master list right now that would go before Cobra Kai?
My master list right now? I really don't have a master list.
All right, so then put Cobra Kai to the top. It's quick. It's fun. Have you seen Ted Lasso?
Yes, I told you to watch Ted Lasso.
Well, that's very good also.
So
how do you have time for Ted Lasso? Quick, mini, 30-minute episodes, and you don't have time for Cobra Kai.
Finish him!
Oh, because the baby wasn't teeth. I mean, the baby's just like, the teeth are just popping out right now, so he's miserable. He's miserable.
Just popping out.
I did watch Mortal Kombat. I shouldn't say that. I did watch Mortal Kombat.
How was that?
It was all right.
Okay.
No, you got to watch
an issue because Milo decided to sneak downstairs while we were watching Mortal Kombat, which is not something I want him watching. And then Cassie's asking me questions the whole time. Like, I've studied Mortal Kombat. She's like, who's this character? Where did he come from? Like, I played the game. I don't know the genesis of everything.
Well, you watch Cobra Kai, and any questions you or the family might have, I am here to help you with. And I actually think that Milo could probably watch Cobra Kai.
Could he?
I think so. Let me think about it again.
Because we watched Mighty Ducks. He's into Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, nice. I think you probably can.
Have you seen Who'd Kill Sarah yet?
No, I haven't even heard of it.
You never heard of Who Killed Sarah?
No.
No.
It's on Netflix. They tried to get me to watch it. My in-laws were like, you gotta watch it. You'll be hooked.
This is like a murder mystery?
It's a show. It's a series, yeah.
Is it scary or it's legitimately like good?
No, it's not scary. No, it's not scary.
All right. Who Killed Sarah?
See if you like it. Yeah, I got to the first episode.
Well, you're not
going to
watch
like,
it anyway, so I'll see if I like it. If I do, Chris, you can watch it.
Yeah, you check it out.
I'll give it a check.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I'd like to go out on a limb right now and tell you I'm going to win our draft challenge.
Yeah, I don't
buy it. When are the picks actually due? When do we have to turn that in?
Well, I think we're going to do it on the show on Thursday.
Oh, okay, so that's happening on draft day. All right, got
yes.
it.
Right. Okay. RJ, is that correct? That's when we're going to do it, during the show on Thursday?
Sounds like it is.
I think Friday's probably better. I would prefer Friday. Can we do it on Friday show?
You want to do the second and third
round for Friday?
No, let's do the first 11 picks on Friday morning.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun once they're already out. RJ, who would you say, Ray, who would you say is the favorite in our draft challenge?
Well, based on what I'm seeing right now, it's got to be Rothenberg is the only one approaching this with any confidence. But then again, Dave Gettleman's approaching with a lot of confidence, too. What does that tell you?
What'd you do that for? Why'd you have to go there?
Even Mel Kiper taking shots at Dave Gettleman in the post.
Well, he's a very easy target.
Would you have taken Andrew Thomas? No.
I've tried in the past.
Oh, God.
I'm not getting fleeced.
I had him ranked 28th on my board.
DeAndre.
We're going to do everything with class.
It actually feels like the first time in his career he may trade back.
They're not
year.
Going to.
I've tried in the past.
It sounds like Joe Judge has a lot of influence on what's happening here.
I'm
right
sure
now.
He does. They're not going to trade back. I have zero confidence at that.
We have the Giants.
If you're Detroit, I'm getting hung up because I'm already starting to do the mock-ups of this draft. If you're Detroit and you got Justin Fields sitting there, how do you not take a quarterback?
Maybe they do.
Carolina's talking about maybe taking a quarterback now, too. They'll decide on Sam's fifth-year option after the draft.
You're going to overanalyze yourself silly
yes.
with this.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, I'm about to say.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe anything that's coming out right now. Like a week before the draft, yeah, this is all smoke by all of these teams. People trying to throw everybody off the scent of what they're going to do. I don't know. There's so much mystery on what's going to happen once we get past the first two picks in this draft. Like I just can't remember having this much uncertainty about what's going to happen in the top 10. I don't remember that.
Yeah. No. This is wide open. And don't you see what Rick is doing? Also, by the way, he's trying to put his own smoke screens out there. Did you see what he just did? Well, I mean, how does Carolina not take a quarterback at 8? Detroit's got to take a quarterback at 7. Mm-hmm. You're doing it all on your own. You're like Eric DaCosta.
I've done what I came to done.
Yeah, I guess you have.
And then we got Denver. Denver could be in the market for a quarterback.
Denver at 9 and
maybe
Dallas
they move
at
up
10.
To 6.
I feel very confident that Dallas will take one of two players. I'm not telling you guys right now, but very confident.
Yeah, we get it. We know. It's going to be a corner. We get it.
I didn't say that at all.
That's what you're insinuating. We know. They're not going to get Kyle Pitts at 10. Pitts will be gone.
I can't.
I am too smart.
How much time do you think? So you have all day Monday. All right, Homer. How much? You got all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, up until Thursday when we do this. How much time over the next 3 days do you think you spend on getting your DCR mock draft up and running? First 11 picks.
Well, I got to go through the process, right? Like I did with the bracket. So I'm going to have to look at. I'm going to print out Mel's, Todd's. Going to have to go over to the NFL Network. Get some Bucky Brooks action, some Daniel Jeremiah. I'm going to get it all. I'm going to hang them up, get a flow chart going, see what's similar, see what's different. I'll give it to you whenever you want it. Like the 49ers are an issue for me right now, too. Because if they do take Mac Jones, I think you're, and all of a sudden Lance and and Justin Fields are sitting there, I think you may see more activity with teams trying to get up to get one of those two quarterbacks, as opposed if they take Trey Lance. Like, I don't know how many teams are trading up to get Mac Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't see a lot of teams being willing to do that. As a matter of fact, if Mac Jones doesn't go three to the 49ers, I think there's a good chance that he slides all the way out of the top 10.
And then what, like, you think maybe like that's someone that New England thinks about at 15?
Yeah, I think New England, Chicago, Washington, all of those teams take a long, hard look at him.
I love the draft. I love it.
So he could go third, or awesome. He could go 15th. How about that, huh?
Some kind of spread on that player, right?
Right? Really is. All right, we'll get to the draft a little bit
later. Thing, though, too, is, Dave, I mean, here's the other thing, though, too, because Chris is probably right, but remember when we had Mike T on, and he said that Matt Rhule and the coaching staff fell in love with Mac Jones.
Yeah, down at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, so and that's what makes the draft so awesome. You really don't know.
I swear to God, and I want to get to the Knicks in a second. If you go to bed before the 32nd pick is made on Thursday night, I'm not talking to you on Friday morning. I'll do the show with you, but I'm not like talking to you off air.
All right. I watched the first round. You told me that last time, and I stayed up.
Good. And I want the same thing for the Knicks tonight. I want it tonight. I want it Friday. I want it both. All right? I won't listen to anything aside you listening and watching the entirety of these games and drafts. 800-919-3776. Julius Randle was on the Woj pod. A lot of interesting sound here. Let's start out with he wanted to reestablish, and I think he has reestablished the New York Knicks.
You know, 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, when I signed up, to play for the Knicks, I had other choices and stuff. But for me, I wanted that experience. Coming from, I got to see both sides of markets as far as like being in LA. Experiencing that market and going to New Orleans and experiencing that market. And I enjoy both. But for me, I wanted to be in the big market and really experience that. And, you know, the Knicks, they weren't, you know, it wasn't a good team, obviously, when I got here. And I just kind of wanted to be a part of rebuilding that, you know, establishing a culture here. And the fans really appreciate that. Guys who come every night, they bring their heart, they work hard, they play hard, and they play as a team. So, they're loving it for sure.
If the Knicks wind up getting really good, I mean really good, where they're one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference and they add the point guard and they wind up being a solid top three seed year after year after year, don't you think that with statements like that, hearing that, Julius Randle's going to be like a conquering hero here for the Knicks and New York fans?
I mean, he's not there yet, but I mean, he's moving that in that direction. I mean, all they do is chant MVP. And he deserves it. And that's all we've ever asked, though, right? Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing. After what we saw from Julius Randle last year, I don't think anyone expected Julius Randle to turn himself into this, what he is now. So I give him a ton of credit. But that's all we really ever wanted, was someone to embrace being a New York Knick.
But nobody else does it. LeBron didn't do it, and Durant didn't do it, and Kyrie didn't do it, and no one else has done it. This is the first guy, and clearly he's not on the level of those guys, the first guy who says, I want to go there. I want that challenge. I want to experience what the Knicks are like.
Yeah, because Julius, but I mean, sorry, Chris, but Julius Randle's trying to establish himself as what he now is, right? He wants to be a perennial all-star, all NBA. Like, he's not at the point of his career yet where he's trying to do what LeBron James or Kevin Durant or James Harden are doing. They've already done all that stuff. They've already established themselves as the best players in the NBA. Those guys are chasing championships. So LeBron James doesn't want to come to a team that's like, I mean, also in that cut. I wanted to help rebuild this thing. That's not what LeBron James, Kevin Durant, those guys are interested in doing, is rebuilding something. They want to come to something that's already built, and then they're the finishing piece that can compete for a championship. The Knicks aren't there yet.
Yeah, but that's what's going to endear Julius Randle to the fan base, Rico. The fact that the Knicks aren't there and this guy did decide that he wanted to come to New York versus the other options that he had in free agency. Like, he chose to go to a situation where things weren't ideal and see if he can resurrect Madison Square Garden, and he's well on his way to doing that in his second year. Like, so much so to the point now where you feel like, okay, this is a no-brainer decision for the Knicks to give him a contract extension and pay him max money this offseason because he's that good. Like, I mean, Julius Randle overnight has turned himself into a really, really good basketball player. I think he should be an all-NBA player this year. Clearly not first team, But, like, there's got to be a place for him on that second or third team. Like, he's just been that good this season.
More Julius Randle on the Woj podcast. Discussions with his agent upon signing with the Knicks.
We were like, you know, be prepared. Like, you know, they're not going to get those guys. You're signing there. Be prepared for what's about to come with that. And, you know, obviously the whole perception was they're disappointed. You know, they didn't sign the guys that that they obviously thought that they were going to sign. But for me, I loved it, you know, because I knew the challenge that I was taking on from the very beginning. And I knew it wasn't going to be easy. You're building something from the ground up. I know it's not going to be easy. But for me, mentally, I know how I work. I know I prepare myself. And I knew I would be, you know, prepared and ready for the challenge or whatever it was.
I give this guy a lot of credit. I mean, listen, he wasn't great last year, but statistically he was okay, but he frustrated the heck out of us. And this year he's I mean, let's be fair. He's a star player that the Knicks have right now. He is.
He's the most improved player in the NBA.
Yep.
And I think, I mean, he should be in the MVP conversation. Because without Julius Randle, I mean, this New York Knicks team is...
They stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're what, an 18-win team? 20-win team? If that.
Well, what's amazing, too, to me is, like, I think it's easier for him to say this now because he's having such a great season and the Knicks are where they're at. Like, I knew what I was signing up for. I don't know if you ever know what you're signing up for. Like, what happened last year was not, like, that would have been tough for anyone to deal with. Because he did not play well at all.
No, he was
And
dreadful.
The New York Knicks fans, I mean, we between hosts on Sports Talk Radio, the calls that we would take, like, people were fed up with Julius Randle.
But how many guys in New York on the big stage can transform their game and go from a guy that the entire fan base is disgusted by to a guy the entire fan base now beloves? That does not happen.
And yet we've seen it a couple times in the last year. We saw it with Leonard Williams last year with the New York Giants, right? A trade that everybody killed Dave Gettleman for making. And then you're talking about a guy going for, what, 12 sacks last year? And being a guy that commands a contract paying him $20 million a year, like that's what Leonard Williams turned himself into in a year. And Julius Randle is doing the same thing with the Knicks. And the fans love those two players for being able to have that ability to do that, Dave, because you're right. Playing in New York comes with a different degree of scrutiny, a heightened degree of pressure, and having the ability to just focus in on your craft and improve, and then that translate to your team having more success, that's a big deal. So respect for Julius Randle and what he's been able to do.
Yeah, he's been sensational. Anthony Staten Island, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning. You know, with the Knicks and all, it's funny. Like, you know, the Nets are doing great and everything, but the Knicks will always be in the New York team. And I'm watching this team, and I'm looking at, you know, Derrick Rose, maturing, and Randle hitting threes, and, you know, and you know, and you got – you know, players hugging coaches and every, you know, everybody's complimenting Noel. And it's like everything's going well for this team. I mean, R.J. Barrett is you know, taking a huge step. They got the coach, the management, you know, draft picks, money. And so now it's just about getting that next player. And that's where you kind of worry because, I mean, in my opinion, they couldn't get anybody before. And now I think free agents are going to be throwing themselves at them. I think anybody who's available of that's good quality, it would be crazy to not want to come here.
So then why do you worry?
It's up to them to kind of find that next spot.
I agree with you. I think they've become a really attractive destination. So then why would you worry about that?
It's not about worrying about – it's more about, you know, now choosing that right person, in my opinion. I mean, and finding that compliment because – you know, it's one thing when you have a team full of stars that you kind of build. And look, there's a lot of ways of doing things. I'm not knocking that. But it's kind of cool to see this team that no one wanted to come to, right? No one really had high expectations for play this way. And you don't want to ruin that chemistry. Again, I might be completely wrong, but I'd love to see a guy that doesn't come in and kind of ruin what we got. One other thing, what's their situation as far as the draft? I mean, you know, I'm not 100% up to speed with the Mavs and all that stuff that they got going on.
They're not in the lottery.
You know, what do they have going
on? They're not in the lottery. They have their first-round pick, and they have Dallas's first-round pick.
Yes.
And both teams will be in the playoffs.
Not all that confusing. That's exactly what they have.
I understand what he's saying, though. No, I understand what he's saying, because I think that was one of the concerns of the deadline, was bringing in someone that didn't fit well in with what they've already built, chemistry-wise.
But you don't trust these guys now? Like you don't trust Leon Rose and Thibodeau to bring in the right guy?
No, I do. No, I don't agree with Anthony, because I think they've shown you enough so far to... I mean, even the patience at the deadline, not to overreact and make a move that they didn't need to make. But I think there is something to be said about the way that Thibs coaches. You do need a certain kind of player that's willing to fit in and work the way this team works. Because that's important to this team. Because especially now when you're not overly talented, but when you play within a system.
Team basketball, sure.
Team basketball with this kind of intensity. And you can see guys getting better, which is, you don't always see that during a season. Because it's not easy to get better during a season, especially when you're talking about condensed schedules and everything else. Because there's not much time for practice and everything else. But the fact that all of a sudden this team can shoot the way that they shoot, when early on in the season, their shooting was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive, man.
No, like, it's impressive.
That's extra.
Yeah, it's impressive, but I also think it's going to be necessary because, like you said, Rico, it's going to take a certain type of player that's going to make a decision to sign up to play for Thibodeau. And it's not going to be every single star. He's not going to be for every player that's out there that becomes available. So for your program, it's important that you have the ability to be able to develop young players that you bring in. Like when those draft picks that you have, even though they're not lottery picks, it's going to be important that they have the ability to develop other role players around what they're building with Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. Like it's gonna be similar to what the Toronto Raptors did in terms of how they developed some of their role players like Fred VanVleet and like Pascal Siakam. Like you're gonna have to have some of those diamonds in the rough if you're gonna have sustained success long term.
And I think the big acquisition you're gonna see, and I don't know who it's gonna be, although Lonzo Ball will be certainly of great discussion. They're gonna bring in a point guard. That I can just about guarantee you this offseason they had a legitimate point guard. All right, more from Julius Randle. I think it's interesting what he had to say from the Woj podcast on a Knicks-Nets potential playoff series.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine how crazy the city would go. It'll be unreal. That's a hell of a team over there, but it'll be unreal.
That would be one of those series where Brooklyn has nothing to gain in that series. They only could lose in that series. Nothing to gain. Nothing. And that could happen.
Absolutely could. Could you imagine if the Knicks win a playoff series and take on Brooklyn in the second round? Oh.
That ain't going to be no easy win for Brooklyn. I'm not saying it's going to go seven, but that's not going to be an easy win.
Yeah, I mean, you got nothing. In that situation, you got nothing to lose. I mean, you lay everything you have on the court and just beat the hell out of Brooklyn.
That's right.
God, that would be good.
It would be great. We can't live in a world where the Knicks could win that series, right?
No.
No, don't even bring that up. No. Let's worry about it. Let's take care of what we need to take care of. Let's solidify ourselves.
Oh, look at what has happened.
Fourth or fifth spot. You still have to win a round.
Which will not be easy.
No. But they get you to – I mean, they have you believing now. I'll tell you that much.
You think about it, and when you mention it, it's not lunacy. Like, they're not coming to lock you up. Well, I just mentioned the Knicks winning a playoff series, and you weren't like, that's a stupid thing to say.
Well, no, I mean, listen, here's the thing about the playoffs they always say, right? It's a whole different ball game when you're playing a seven-game series, and the team can game plan game in and game out to stop you and what you do. It's not like, okay, we're seeing you on a random Monday or Tuesday, we're going to play you once, and then we'll see you again in 3 weeks. Again, their defense is one of the best in the NBA. Now all of a sudden you put them in a playoff series where Thibs and his coaching staff is game planning for this specific team for all however many games it takes. What's the defense going to look like then? And oh, by the way, you're doing this right now without Alec Burks.
That's right. And Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, but I think the way that Taj and Nerlens Noel are playing.
Nerlens Noel is a really nice player. There's not a game that goes by where he doesn't make a block at the rim where you're like, wow, that was a special kind of play. Every single game.
Yeah, but you're not just talking. I mean, you're talking dunks. Like, straight up dunks, he's blocking. But they complement each other so well, him and Taj. Nerlens is a better shot blocker. Taj is a better rebounder. He's the more physical of the two.
He's like the definition of a journeyman. You took a journeyman player, and he plays meaningful, important minutes on the fourth seed in the East right now.
Yeah, on a team that he's familiar with the coach.
Yeah.
So same thing with Derrick Rose.
Yeah, that was a great trade. He has been.
Did you think it was
going to
be this good?
Possible. No.
Did you think it was going to be this good?
No.
No. And he's been great.
Great. Beyond what I thought possible. Let's go to John in Atlanta. Good morning, John. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Chancey. How are you doing this morning?
You just said good morning to Chris two times.
Oh, my bad. I'm driving home from work. I've been up all night.
Okay.
I'll
give you the benefit
Dave
of the doubt.
And Rick. I got a question about, I was listening to the caller about free agency, and I was thinking that if we get our point guard, we might need a two or three, and RJ's versatility make it a little easier that you go either way, because I believe you could play the two or the three. But there's one player, if he hits the market, that I would like my Knicks to go out and get, and that's Kelly Oubre. My question is, what are your thoughts on that one?
I would be more focused. If we're going to do anything, I would be more focused on getting up a legitimate point guard.
Well, I think you were talking about the point guard and Oubre. But, yeah, I would agree with you.
No, I like Oubre. I mean, Oubre's a good player. He's going to want a lot of money, though.
Yeah. They could use another wing. No question about it. But I think priority has to be the point guard spot.
Absolutely. 100% has to be the point guard spot. You can't go into another season with the same point guard situation.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.